Welcome. Thank you for watching this teaching video from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. Please check out our other videos and don't forget to like and subscribe. Our mission is to help people come to know Jesus better and love Him more every day. We believe this will not only help our own spiritual growth, but also help us better influence the community and the world for Christ. For more information about Oak Tree, please visit us at oaktreechurch.com. There you'll find past message series, online giving options, and more information about our discipleship process that we call The Path. Now, enjoy this message. We'd love to hear from you in the comments or the website contact form. Thank you.
Morning, church. So we're continuing on in our study this year on what God's plan for the church is. This week, we're trying to look at some of the more outside the church areas we can serve. So as a reminder, this year we've really been going through three big questions. What are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to do? And how we're supposed to do it? And we spent the first part of the year looking at the first two questions. What are we to be and what are we to do? And those are the ones we can look straightforward. What are the examples in the Bible? And we found some clear commands for the global church. And then we saw that the local church has the same commands, and they should be the same, even though sometimes it looks a little different, worded a little different, worked out a little different. But for the last several months, we've been spending most of our time in how we are to do it. And the reason is that while there are some things that are clearly defined in the Bible that says how you're supposed to live, here's exact circumstances, it doesn't cover each and every situation, even though sometimes we joke and wish that it would just give us a checklist of what to do and not to do. So even within the global church, many local churches, like I said, fulfill their goals differently, looking differently from each other. They word it this way, they word it that way, and we work it out differently. And that's okay. Because the Bible is not a checklist of each and every situation, because it provides a foundation, we can work it out and look a little differently in each situation. Through prayer, through study, and through faith, we can use what the Bible has said to come to conclusions on how we are to interact in our situations in our different local churches. So last week, what did we look at? We looked specifically at Christian patriotism. And we got some very good reminders about what Christians are and what they aren't. So what Christians are, we saw last week, is we are citizens of heaven. Christians are to use their situation wisely, according to the Bible, to try and effect change in their community. Christians are to obey their leaders and to pray for them, even and especially when those leaders are not Christians, so that they might be saved. And they're supposed to pray for their leaders so that they might make the right decisions. And here was the key. They were to work within the laws of the government as much as possible to find ways of obeying God in the government. But ultimately, the goal of each Christian is to share the gospel and open the hearts of individuals. And then we saw a couple good reminders what Christians are not supposed to be and do. They're not to cause dissensions and disobey government just because they feel like it. They're not to put their country first and God second. They're not to obey any laws that go against God in the Bible. Here's a big one. Christians are not building the kingdom now. The kingdom is not now. We're not building the kingdom. And we're going to see this again today. Christians are not to expect the entire world to change while it is under the power of Satan. So why the reminder? Because this week, just like last week, we're looking at the responsibilities of individual Christians within the global church. We're looking at how we're supposed to live out our lives, not just in the local church, but every day of the week. So today I want to look at a couple of common phrases that you may or may not have heard and look at what the biblical truth behind them actually is. We talk about all the time, you may have heard sacred versus secular. Well, this is a sacred thing. This is secular world. Here's a big one. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. What does that mean? People bring up constantly the separation of church life from everyday life, and they bring up ministry in the church, and then what is that versus everyday ministry? My goal throughout all of these is that everyone here today will realize, just like we sang today, It's about God. It's about serving God. It's about obeying him, how great he is, and that we're doing this not just because we have to, not just because, well, the Bible says so, but doing it out of a heart for ministry, a heart of worship. So the first two ideas I mentioned, sacred and secular, and in the world, not of the world, kind of go together, but maybe not in the way you think. So here's some common misused phrases that a lot of Christians like to say. I didn't make the world. I didn't make the rules. I just try to live in it. Well, it's a flawed world. You just got to figure out how you fit in, how you to survive it. Here's one. The world is full of sin anyway. Just do your best. And then I'm just trying to make it through. I'm not trying to change the world. Some of those actually sound good when you first say them, when you first hear them. You may have even said these once or twice in the past. I know I used to say these. But the problem with all these is that they're actually just ways to deflect. They're ways to take our personal responsibility as believers and push all the problems back on the world. Well, it's the world's bad. The world does this. It's not me. I don't have to do anything. I can't do anything. And again, as a reminder, we did indeed see last week, the world is under the power of Satan. And as long as Satan is in control, the overall tone of the world will always shift towards sin. And the desires of people's hearts will always be evil. No matter how hard we try to change it, no matter how much we share the gospel, no matter how much we try and make a difference, we're not building the kingdom. We're not bringing about the change of the entire world. Does that mean that it's not worth doing anything? Well, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter because the world's sinful. Well, that's what a lot of people say. That's what a lot of people think. They take what we learned last week. They take all these things we learn about how the world is under the power of Satan, how we're citizens of heaven. So I don't have to do anything in the world. Because if Satan's in control anyway, it doesn't matter what I'm going to do. And in fact, there are some people who actually try to take the extra spiritual route and say, well, I'm holy, I'm set apart, I'm different than the world, so I don't need to be doing things in the world. I should stay out of the problems of the world and let them return to their sin. This comes from that same idea as shake the dust off our feet, leave things, go away when things aren't working. And there are times where Jesus did indeed tell his disciples, shake the dust off your feet and walk away. But that wasn't meant to be every situation in the world. So what is the right way? How do we balance that? Well, first I want to define what it means to be in the world and not of the world. And here's a fun thing. It may surprise you, but the phrase in the world, not of the world is not directly found in the Bible. We can clearly find the ideas, but not the exact phrase. So where do we find this idea then? Well, the first and the biggest concept we find it is in John 17, starting in verse 14. Jesus is praying in the garden here, right after the Passover feast. And as he's praying, he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Set them apart in truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I set myself apart on their behalf, so that they too may be truly set apart. And again, this is in the garden. This is right after the Passover. So the they he's talking about here, this is remaining 11 disciples, the ones who stayed with him, the ones who he's been teaching, setting up his death and resurrection. And he was giving them these instructions. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what you're going to do, even though you say you're going to stick with me. And here's what's going to happen when I am resurrected. And right in the middle of this, he's praying for them. And guess what? Those that come after. He prayed for all of us too. He prayed for each and every one of us. This applies to us too. And what does he say? They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. But the key verse 15, I am not asking you to take them out of the world. What we saw here was the disciples and all those who would come after are not of the world. But if we're not of the world, does that mean we're supposed to be out of the world? No, Jesus did not ask that they are taken out of the world. So he had a reason. He had a purpose for them in the world still. So then we shift over to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, says, "So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Look, what is new has come." And in 2 Corinthians, Paul is urging Christians to hold on, to persevere, to hold to the faith. He tells them that the things of the world are temporary, the things of God are eternal. And then right here in this verse, anyone in Christ is a new creation. This is more proof that those of us who are in Christ are not of the world, we're new creations. And of course, brought this up last week, so I have to bring it up again, Philippians 3:20. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we also eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." All three of these verses explain that we are not in the world. We're not of the world. But what about being in the world? What does that mean? Well, there's two more passages I want to look at for this thing. The first is in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desire of the eyes, and the arrogance produced by material possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away with all its desires, but the person who does the will of God remains forever." And finally, a warning here in Romans 12, verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect." So why these two passages? Because both of these passages, again, demonstrate there is a separation from the world for those of us who believe. But there's also a warning not to love the world, not to be in the world. Which means you are going to be in the world if there is a chance for that temptation. But again, the biggest and clearest example is in 1 John. So what does it mean to be of the world? What does it mean to be in the world? What does it mean to be of the world? Why do I keep using in and of? Well, being of the world is loving the things of the world, living as if you value the things of the world. Being in the world but not being of the world means not loving the things of the world, not loving the things against God, and not living as if we value the things of the world. We are not to be like the world. Instead, as we just saw, we are to be something new. But just as Jesus didn't ask for us to be pulled from the world, both of these passages warn us of completely separating ourselves. Not physically, but spiritually. And if we have to be warned about that, it's because we aren't immediately physically separated. So what is our purpose for remaining in the world? Well, one of the things we've talked about in our many different meetings as the teaching team is a concept that, well, if we looked at salvation as the end, if we looked at salvation as the end result, if all we're to do is to be saved and then be with God, God could and would easily just pull us out of the world the moment we're saved. We've seen in the Bible how God can say, okay, your time here is done. So if the only reason we were here was to be saved, why aren't we immediately with God the moment we're saved? There must be a reason, right? And that reason is sharing the gospel and making disciples. We are to be in the world so that we can be examples to the world. And the common phrase for that is the lights of the world. We are to be the lights of the world, so that others may look at us and see God, see Jesus. And where do we find this? Well, we find this in a couple of different passages. The first one is Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15. "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without blemish, though you live in a crooked and perverse society in which you shine as lights in the world." And another one I want to look at is in 1 Peter 2:11 to 12. And yes, this passage is directed toward Jewish Christians and their behavior, but the principle is still very good for us. And it says, "Beloved, I urge you as foreigners and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God on the day of visitation. And then finally in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 and 6, for we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slave for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one who shined in our hearts to give us the light of the glorious knowledge of God in the face of Christ. But there's a problem with us being the lights. We can't be the lights if we hide ourselves away. Jesus told his disciples all the way back in Matthew 5:15, no one lights a lamp and then hides it away. And if we're the lights that he put inside of us, that he put into the world, did he light us just to hide us away? Did he intend for us to be lights and then, well, I actually don't want you showing yourself to the world? No. We need to be in the world. We need to be out there so that we can be showing Jesus to the world. We need to be lights living as new beings. Yes, set apart in our actions, in our behaviors, not living like the world. That doesn't mean we need to live out of the world. We can't be a light if we're hidden away. What does that mean specifically? It means we need to always be ready to share the gospel. And here's the thing. You can't just share the gospel from the safety of the church. You can't just share the gospel if the only people around you are fellow believers. And you can't just invite them to church and hope they show up. Being ready to share the gospel, being a light, means actually going out there, means getting yourself down in the mud with everyone, getting dirty, getting ready to share and live with them so that you can be the example to them. You actually have to go into the darkness to let your light shine. My favorite example of this is in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But set Christ apart as Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks about the hope you possess. And this is one of my favorite verses because it actually gives us two important concepts. The first one is always be ready to answer for the hope in you. Always be ready. You are responsible. Every one of you is responsible. Every one of us is responsible to give an answer. Doesn't say always be ready to give the address of your church. Doesn't say always be ready to give your pastor's contact information. It says always be ready to give an answer. Every individual Christian is to be ready at all times to share the gospel. Does that mean that every individual Christian has to know the entire Bible? Every individual Christian has to be a preacher or a teacher or know everything? No. We have great resources. Here we have these tracts out in the lobby. I encourage each and every one of you to get this. It's a couple pages long. I'm pretty sure all of us can read and memorize at least that little bit. But here's the big thing. If you have been saved already, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's because you heard the gospel and you understood it. And if you understood it, even if you don't know anything else about the Bible, you should know what you accepted and believed and be able to share that with other people. The other thing I like about 1 Peter 3:15 is it says the hope within you. What this says is that you should be living your life in a way that demonstrates you have a hope within you. You should be living in a way that shows people something about you is different. And who asks about the hope within you, who asks about the hope you possess. That kind of entails that you have to be out there for people to ask you. They can't ask you about the hope within you if there's no one around you to ask. Being in the world but not of the world tells us that we need to remember who we are, but also where we belong right now. We are still here, and as long as we are still here, we have work to do. We still have a reason to be in this world, even though we are not of this world. So the next concept is ministry in the church and out of the church. And this is something we've really hit a lot on this year, but I think it bears repeating and reminding, specifically as we talk about going out into the world. Ministry is about serving God, not people. That's it. People like to think of ministry as this big, profound word. They say things like, well, I want to serve God, but there's no ministry at my church. Well, my gifts aren't ministry related. I serve in other ways. Or how about, I don't have time for ministry. I can't be involved in something that requires me to be there every single day. The problem is that we forget that ministry is not just these big, huge projects. It's not just those who travel overseas. No offense, TJ, if you're watching. And it's not just those who teach and preach the gospel in church. And it's not limited only to serving inside your local church. Ministry at its core is every time we choose to serve and obey God, whether it's a little thing or a big thing. So why is this important reminder? Well, in light of the fact that we are lights, yes, I had to make that pun at least once, we should be looking for everyday ministry opportunities. Look for opportunities at your job, with the people you work with. Think about how many different people you interact with that you don't realize it. Every time you go to the grocery store, when you get gas, when you're at the restaurant, fast food. Think about your friends or people you know well enough to interact with closely, and show more of your ministry. What I'm saying is use the different levels of relationships you have to engage with people and show your light on different levels. It's okay that you're not going to have the same interaction with the clerk at the grocery store that you're going to have with your friends every day. But that doesn't mean there's no opportunity for interaction. The most important thing is to use the opportunities you have. Opportunities to show your light. Opportunities to share the gospel. And opportunities, most importantly, just to serve God. You can't sit back and wait and deny our role in this life. We can't hide away and hope that the world goes on without us and we don't have to do anything. And we can't just sit comfortably at church and then go back to our lives and live one day for God and the rest of the week for work. Our lives have been changed. We have been made new creation at the moment of salvation. And every moment of our lives should reflect this. Every moment of our lives should be ministry. Because ministry is not limited to the local church. It's not just the pastors, the preachers, or the ministers who have the responsibility. It's every single Christian, every member of the body of Christ, is to take every opportunity to serve God and be a living, breathing light, day in and day out. So what about that last phrase I talked about this morning? Separation of church and life. Well, here's a fun thing there. There's really two things that affect the church at large today, but especially the church here in America, and it's this. The first thing is forgetting the church is the people, letting the church become a building and a place instead of a people, and then making one day holier or more spiritual than the rest. Far, far too often, Christians have begun to forget that the church is the people. So many times throughout the world, I'm sure you may have heard a similar phrase, if not that exact one. Well, I can't say that. I can't do that. I'm at church. As if the building is God's residence. Or maybe, well, this day is holy. This day is spiritual. I need to pray more today. I need to read more today. I need to do more today. As if we're not supposed to be praying, reading the Bible, trusting God every day of the week. Here's some fun ones. Well, it's okay to say and do and believe, and especially to behave that way at church, but I have a job. I have a life. I can't behave that way in public. I can't say that in public. Or, well, I believe this, but I don't want to offend anyone, so I can't say that throughout the rest of my life. I can only say that here. The problem with all these phrases is what people are unintentionally doing is separating your godly life from your normal life. They're saying that living for God doing ministry, that your purpose in this life, your spiritual purpose especially, is tied to a place, is tied to a day, and not tied to God. You're living the opposite way of those who hide away from the world because you're still going out into the world, but you're making the same mistake. You're taking the light you're supposed to be shining and pulling it away from the world. Yes, you're not hiding your light inside a Christian community. Yes, you're not hiding it inside of all Christian groups. You're still out there. But the problem is, you're out there, but your light's hidden in plain sight. You're not following the warnings we looked at earlier about being transformed. We're being conformed to the world. Instead of letting our light so shine, we conform to the present world, and we let the world dictate what we are to say and listen to its laws over God's laws. And here's why. It ultimately comes down to fear. Fear of society, fear of loss of status, loss of job, money, physical things. In some places, fear of loss of life. And the thing is, those are not unfounded fears. Those are not just made up things. Those are things that do happen. There are consequences for letting your light shine. Back in John 17, Jesus did say the world hated him and the world will hate us. And again, Satan is in control of the world, and the world is against all things biblical and all things Christ. And we know the brighter a light shines in the darkness, the more easily it is seen, and the bigger a target it makes. It's natural for us to want to stay small, stay inoffensive, not make enemies of the world. The problem is, like we saw earlier back in 1 John 2, we have a very strict warning. Do not love the world or the things of the world. Those who love the world, love the things of the world, are enemies of God. This world is already an enemy of God. And we as Christians don't get to be neutral in this life. There are only two choices, God or the world. And whenever we choose to focus on anything but God, whether we like that or not, whether it's comfortable or not, when we choose something but God, we're actually choosing against God. We're looking at God and saying, I know you said this, but I'm doing this. That is an active choice. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And here the example he used was money, but it doesn't have to be money only. Anytime we put something else before God, above God, we are saying that thing is our master, and we can only have one master. So what am I saying? Am I saying that we should all go out there and be as loud, as obnoxious as possible? We should go out there and call out sin, tell everyone else they're wrong because the Bible says sin is wrong? We need to go and call everyone heathens, pagans, and show how separate we are? No. We are not called to go out and correct and change the entire world. We're called to lead quiet, godly lives that demonstrate obedience to God and attract the proper attention. But we are supposed to put God first and everything else second. Again, what did we see last week? We do have opportunities to serve in the world, especially here in America. But we should be working within the laws, not outside of them. The fact of the matter is that until Jesus Christ himself returns, the world will be under Satan's control. And, in case you've never seen that in Revelation, even when Jesus is here on the planet ruling for 1,000 years, there will still be people who are sinful. There will still be people who disobey. So if we can't change the world, what can we do? Well, we can do what we're supposed to do, which is share the gospel, live as lights, live out ministry, not just do ministry. There should be no difference in our lives at church and every other day. Who I am on Sunday better be the same as who I am throughout the week, or I'm not doing it right. And it's the same for each and every one of us. And while we cannot stop the world from sinning, And we should not expect those who don't know Jesus to stop sinning. We should be sharing Jesus. We should be presenting the gospel. We should be living our lives in such a way that no matter where you are, work, home, church, public, private, anywhere and everywhere, what we're actually presenting is Jesus. What we're actually living is that hope within us. But to balance that, again, we're not supposed to be loud and obnoxious. The Bible says, do not unnecessarily offend. We are constantly called to live peacefully, be respectful and patient, as much as it's up to us. The best example of this is found in the very next verse to my favorite verse in 1 Peter 3:15. It's verse 16. And again, 15, but set Christ apart as Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks about the hope you possess. Yet, do it with courtesy and respect, keeping a good conscience, so that those who slander your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame when they accuse you. What this means is there are times the way we live is going to offend people. It just is. And that's okay. The trick here is you're not the one being offensive. They're not offended at you. They're offended at the truth. And if someone's offended by the truth, then they're really offended by God, not just you. But if you're offending someone because of something you're doing, not just because you're living the truth, then the fault is with you. This is how we balance living for God with living in the world. Always be ready. Always look for opportunities, but don't push people away and offend them just because you're set apart. Be the respectful person. Be respectful in every situation so that those who get offended cannot be the ones accusing you of misconduct. So being in the world does not mean being of the world, and being of God does not mean that we should live apart from the world. I joked about it earlier, but there's some truth to it. If the only reason for us to be here is salvation, if that is the end-all, be-all, nothing else matters after we're saved, then God would have called every one of us home as soon as we're saved. We are still here, and we do still have a purpose. This purpose doesn't end at salvation. It begins at salvation. Around here, we use the path a lot. And the path starts with add to your faith. Faith is the very beginning of the path of our growth of the rest of our lives. But it's not the end. We're supposed to start there and add to it. And what is the end result? Brotherly affection and unselfish love. The end result of our growth is to take the gifts God has given us and put them to use in our lives. Paul said it best in Philippians when he said, "For to me, living is Christ, but dying is gain." Every one of us should look forward to the day when we're with Christ. We should all know how good of a day that will be when we finally see him and know him as he is and as we should. But to live is Christ. Until the day we're with him, we have work to do. We have a job to do. And we live here and now for Christ, not just for ourselves. Our purpose, our ministry, is not a Sunday-only ministry. It's not only saying, what can I do for the local church? Or what can I do when my church family shows up? And it's not limited by what programs a church offers, not just here, but anywhere. We're all members of a global church. We're all here for Christ, and our lives should reflect that. We should be ready for opportunities, and we should be looking for ways to use our shape to serve. It can be in church. It can be on Sundays. It can be traveling across the world. None of those things are wrong. But we should not let ourselves be limited only by what's there. What is a program? What is a big ministry opportunity? Your shape, wherever you fit in, is what you're supposed to do. Use it in every part of your life. And most importantly, who you are, who your shape is, should look the same no matter where you're at, no matter what day of the week it is, no matter where you find yourself. We're supposed to be lights of the world. We're not supposed to be flickering lights that have an on and off switch based on what's going on around us. We're supposed to live unashamed. Romans says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is God's power for salvation to everyone, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not live your life ashamed of the gospel. Let it lead you. Let it be the truth. If you do that, no matter where you're at, no matter where you find yourself, you will always have the same attitude. It will no longer be church you versus regular you, church life versus regular. It will just be a new creation, a new man in Christ Jesus. So what are my challenges today? First one, again, know the gospel. Always be ready to answer. If you haven't been saved before, pray and believe. The gospel is the power of God for all people. All that you have to do is believe in it. But if you have been saved, remember. Remember who saved you and what he saved you for. Remember the gospel that brought you out of darkness and into his light. Most importantly, be ready. Don't hide this truth. Know it. Be ready to share it. Again, we have all these notes. We have these tracks. We have all sorts of resources to help us. But what happens when somebody asks you and you're not prepared? Always be ready means don't just have something written out. Have the truth of the gospel inside of you, ready to be shared. Second challenge today is to find your shape. Find where you can best serve. Every single Christian has been given spiritual gifts by God. Every single one of us. It's a promise from God. Find your gifts. Find your abilities and passions and your experiences. And use your desire to serve. And then, most importantly, go serve. Don't wait for the right time or the perfect moment or the opportunity. Doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't have to be big. But it has to start somewhere. And it has to start with you deciding, I'm going to serve. And finally, let your light shine. No matter what day of the week, no matter where you are, let it shine brightly and unashamed. Live your life as if you believe, as if there is something different inside of you. Let God and the Bible be the only guiding principle of your life, regardless of work, culture, or whatever else is around you, or whoever else is around you. Follow and obey God's commands. Don't look for ways to offend people, but always be ready to demonstrate the same heart of obedience and the same desire to follow God in every situation in your life.